Got a Bible, could you please find Luke chapter 7? Can the words go up or not? Is it not working? No. Luke chapter 7, if you would. And verse 36. Luke 7, 36. One of the Pharisees asked him, that's Jesus, to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, let's just call that pounds. One owed 500 pounds and the other 50. And when they'd nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who'd been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Let's just pray. Father, help us by your Spirit to understand what this text says and help us to apply it to our own situation, to realize again what it is to have sins forgiven. And if there is someone here tonight who still has not had that experience, help them to see the importance of having sin forgiven and being right with God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Title for tonight, The Good, The Bad, and The Lovely. You thought I was going to say something else. Jesus was invited to the home of a Pharisee so that there could be a debate. Ultimately, the Pharisee wanted to show Jesus up as a phony, as a fraud, claiming to be something that he couldn't possibly be. When such gatherings took place, there was actually strangely open house. That is, anybody could come in, weren't allowed to speak, and observe what was going on. Because, of course, for a Pharisee, it was a time to show off. And whoever else was in the debate might be able to show off similarly, or, as he wanted to do here, that is Simon, expose the other person as a fraud. So Jesus is invited to the house of Simon the Pharisee. Now, I don't know what you know about Pharisees. There's plenty we could say but a couple of things are important. One, Pharisees weren't thick. They were not. They had to have a brain. They were intelligent people in religious affairs as in other affairs. I don't know if you know this, every Pharisee had to learn and apply 365 do's and don'ts in their life. Lots to do, lots not to do. They had to remember them all, not to apply them all every day, but their memory had to be good and they had to apply it. There was a lot of self-discipline required. Something else that's quite significant, I think, for this reading is this. Every day a Pharisee prayed the following prayer. God, I thank you I wasn't born a slave. I thank you I wasn't born a Gentile. And I thank you I wasn't born a woman. I think I go along with that third one. As long as I don't get slapped afterwards by a lady. I'm glad I wasn't born a woman. Simon invited Jesus to eat with him. As he was there at the table, that is Jesus, there was a gatecrasher. Of course, she was allowed to, as it were, observe, but a gatecrasher in the sense that she went right up to where all the guests were eating. And they would all eat on the equivalent of a sofa, or if you've got them in Rainhill as posh people, a chaise longue, okay? All reclining at the table, not at a chair. Now think about it. They're all around the table. There's a head here next to what? Feet. Men's feet. Men's feet are very often sweaty feet. They're all around the table. Head, foot, all around the table. Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner came in. Now, of course, we'd all recognize, if we're honest enough, we're all sinners. But when Luke uses the term, it's got a special reference. If you look up the equivalent statement in Matthew, you actually get the word prostitute, often used instead of sinner, applied to women. It doesn't necessarily apply here, but it means this. The Pharisee regarded her as a sinner, that is, low life or riffraff. Now, of course, there's no low life or riffraff in Rainhill, plenty in Liverpool, where I come from. But the minute she walked in, he knew who she was, and she was of that sort. The woman who was a sinner, maybe a notorious one, maybe she was a prostitute. I'm not sure, we can't say that, it would be unfair. But there was something about her that marked her out as that woman. When she knew Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, which would be around her neck. There'd be a little a necklace, a string of some sort, and an ointment pouch, bottle, whatever. She stood at his feet behind him weeping. That was embarrassing. Weeping in public anyway is a bit embarrassing, but she stood there, that woman, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. That's some weeping, isn't it? Washing his feet with her tears. And wiped them with the hair of her head. So her hair would be unbraided, it would be loose. And she used her long hair, another scandalous exhibition, to wipe the feet of Jesus. Picture the scene. Simon believes his guest is a phony and he's going to show him up. He's there at the table. This woman comes up and comes immediately to him. Maybe he's starting to put two and two together anyway about a relationship. Who knows? But her behavior is utterly outrageous. And she kissed his feet. That's rather an exhibition. And anointed him with the fragrant oil. It's an utter scandal. What's going on? Think about it. Now, when the Pharisee who'd invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. Well, people who talk to themselves are usually nutters. He wasn't doing that. He spoke to himself in his head and his heart. He makes a judgment on what he's seeing, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, if he really was who he claims to be, would have known who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him in public, for she is a sinner. Now, normally, I would suggest or think that this woman would have been kicked out the minute she came in. But she was doing for Simon what he didn't need to do for himself, showing that the man she was crying over, anointing and kissing, wasn't possibly who he was claiming to be. Now notice, verse 39, he spoke to himself, in other words, that's his thinking. Jesus answered and said to him, verse 40, he heard, not with his ears, no words from Simon's mouth, but he heard, as it were, what Simon is thinking. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I've something to say to you. And I love this bit. And he said, teacher, say it. Teacher, my foot. But go on. You've already shown yourself up by that this contact with the woman. What are you going to do now to get out of this one? And then it seems even wackier, verse 41, because Jesus then tells a story. What's Simon's immediate reaction to that, possibly? Well, he's in a real mess here. What's he going to do? Tell us a riddle to get out? Try and distract from the situation? There was a certain creditor, a moneylender, who had two debtors, two clients who were in debt to him. One owed, verse 41, we're changing the currency, £500, and the other 50. When they'd nothing, both of them, nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both, to their relief quite clearly. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? You don't need a calculator. You don't need a GCSE or an A-level in maths to work that one out. £500, £50, both debts cleared. Who would love the moneylender, the creditor, the more? I love this verse, 43. Simon answered and said, I suppose. Well, he wasn't thick. I think he's being very sarky. I suppose the one whom he forgave more. But I think he's saying suppose for another reason. Because Simon was a Pharisee, and he knew he was a debtor. He was in debt to God. Hence, all the behavior of do's and don'ts, rites and ceremonies, obeying the law, following the rules all the time. And whenever he dropped his guard, he knew he was in debt to God. But as a contrast with himself, anyone like this woman or this phony prophet who's here with me, they are in much greater debt than I am, because I live a good life, I lead a good life, I'm on the right tracks. She's not, and I'm sure he's not. Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And look at the courtesy of Jesus. He said to him, you have rightly judged. Listen to what's coming. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? Of course he did. He'd not stop watching her because she'd been doing the dirty work for him. But do you really see, Simon, what's going on? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, which was a courtesy always offered to a guest. So if he'd never given him water for the feet of Jesus, excuse this, Jesus had sweaty feet, unwashed, not been to the bathroom, as it were, no bowl of water. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. No courtesy like that from you. You gave me no kiss of greeting, a normal greeting. Instead of a handshake, a kiss on the cheek maybe, but the woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. since the time I came in. Now think of that. All the time Jesus has been reclining at the table, she's been kissing his feet. He says quite clearly, she's not ceased kissing my feet. That's what she's done. You did not anoint my head with oil when I crossed your threshold. The oil of greeting, the oil of blessing, you didn't give me any of that. But this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. I came to your house, Simon. No handshake, no welcome, nor would you like to use the bathroom equivalent in our day. It was almost, come in, sit there, and I'm going to make a show of you. No courtesy, no care, no love. Therefore, I say to you, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And if you know what the text actually says, it says this: her sins have been forgiven. Not because of the kisses, the tears, the ointment, the doing, not that. They are tokens, signs of gratitude for having her sins forgiven. For she loved much. She's already in a right relationship with me. Nothing and no one is going to stop her, would stop her coming in here and doing what she's done to say thank you. But to whom little is forgiven, Simon, the same loves little, as in total lack of courtesy or care. And he said to her, these are amazing words in the house of the Pharisee, your sins are forgiven, have been forgiven. Simon had spent his life as a Pharisee working towards forgiveness from God on his terms, not God's terms. No love. Why? No forgiveness of sins. Those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Wow, they'd never heard anything like it. They'd never seen anything like it. They'd never seen anyone like it. Who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go into, not just in, go into, verse 50, peace. Your sins are forgiven. The slate's wiped clean. They can call you what they want as regards heaven. As regards me, your sins are forgiven. What was that story all about in verses 41 and 42? Was Jesus just deflecting from the embarrassment of having this woman all over him? Not at all. He was telling Simon and you and me that we are all in debt to God because of our sin. We have no credit with him. And the credit we need cannot come from good deeds, Pharisaical goodness, Sunday church attendance, goody-goodiness, or anything like that. The only credit that will count on our behalf is something given to us by the creditor, the Lord Jesus Christ. He assumed the debt of our sin on the cross, didn't he? He took it to himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him and through him. And our credit with heaven can only be gained as a gift from him when we bow the knee and acknowledge we're sinners. And his righteousness, his cloak of righteousness, that clothing is all that we can rely on and all that we have to rely on. His gift to us. And that woman, no Pharisee, no theologian, knew in her heart what had happened to her. When it was she met Jesus, I don't know. Don't know the incident, but she came to say thank you. Why? She loved him because she loved much because of what he'd done. question. Have your sins been forgiven? How regularly do you come here? Doesn't actually matter. Really doesn't. It's great you come. Really is great anyone goes to hear the word of God. But ultimately, the test is this. Am I still in debt because of my sin? Or am I in credit, not because of me, but because of him? The Lord Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself for me. The story in some people's eyes, I suspect, could be rather offensive. Ugh, sweaty feet, kissing, wiping, crying, ointment. Perhaps it was stinky perfume, who knows? Might be something cheap and nasty. Who knows? That's irrelevant in one way. The relevance is she had met the Saviour and was never, ever the same again. Just come back, if you would, to verse 34 and we've finished. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking with sinners, which is what he did. And you say, it's a bit of a slight different translation possibly from what you have. Look, a glutton and a wine bibber. Nobody uses that anymore. This guy, all he does is meet with riffraff and he likes to stuff his face and get it down his neck. That's what glutton and wine bibber means. But he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were riffraff. If you're a tax collector, apologies. But they are in this time. And sinners. That's the greatest accolade the Lord Jesus Christ could have taken to himself. A friend of tax collectors and sinners. One of whom was that woman. Saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, sins forgiven, and by the grace of God would make it to heaven. But there's something else here as well, and we've finished. Jesus was on his way to the cross. He was on his way to the cross for this woman, but he was on his way to the cross for Simon as well. He didn't embarrass him. She embarrassed him. He didn't embarrass Simon. He didn't criticize Simon. He didn't show him up in any way whatsoever. He was courteous. He was polite. He was caring. And he explained through that mini parable the gospel to Simon as well. We'll meet that woman in heaven. Riffraff, not at all. A saint, saved by grace. And remember this, folks. There are only two sorts of people in the world. I read this recently, I love it. There are saints and ain'ts. You're either a saint or you ain't. Is he? Simon? We don't know. She? Most certainly. The good? Simon. The bad? The woman. And the lovely? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you that we have such a wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us is too good. None of us is too bad. And it's never too late to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this section of scripture. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ through how he handled the woman and Simon, helping us to understand what the gospel is all about. The need for sins forgiven, the need to be right with God, and the certain hope of heaven. Amen.